is for a license.
I came back 10 times.
Okay.
Try and ease back in.
Yeah.
Morning. Today is Tuesday, August 4th, 2015. This is a regular meeting of the Los Angeles Board of Police Commissioners. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Good morning. Let the record reflect Commissioner Soboroff, Madison, Saltzman, and Kim are present, and we have a quorum. Number one on the agenda, election of officers. This has been continued. We do have one comment card. We have Mr. Herman.
I guess he's not here next.
He's here. He's here.
Hey, you have the opportunity to just get my paperwork real quick.
If I might just ask our city attorney whether it makes sense to have public comment or required to have public comment on an item which is continued to the following week.
Sure.
There's no discussion.
Right.
I don't understand why we would have public comment.
Right. Public comment is not necessary. This item's been continued. You have an opportunity to speak when this item's back on the agenda.
Okay. So let's move on.
So is it open or closed?
The item's continued, so it's not on the agenda.
So you'll have your chances for your other stuff.
Okay.
Thank you.
Item number two on the agenda, commission comments.
I'm sure. I'd like to open it a couple of things. First of all, thanking and congratulating the many officers who were involved with the Special Olympics. It was basically a proud time for Los Angeles. The world's eyes were upon us. The partnership between LAPD and the Special Olympics, and the Special Olympics Organizing Committee was not just a few-day situation. And I think that they handled it flawlessly, and everybody that was involved, I think, deserves congratulations. Second thing is, we just came from a wonderful and emotional reception for Commissioner Madison. The mayor was there this morning, and so were a whole many other dignitaries, because this is her last meeting, and I wanted to mention that from my comments in the meeting, that it's been an honor and a pleasure to serve with someone. There's no one like Paula. She's fair, she's honest, she's honorable, and it's been a great experience, and I wanted to let everyone know we had a wonderful reception, and for the mayor himself to come was really nice. So we're going to miss you. I'm not going to miss you kicking me under the table anymore, but other than that, we will. Other comments?
I'll comment. Thank you. I would like very much to thank you, Steve, and my fellow commissioners and the Inspector General, and certainly our Executive Director, Mr. T. Fink, who's probably doing the hula somewhere on a beach.
It's a little early doing the hula.
Certainly the City Attorney, my many thanks and gratitude to the chief and to the members of the Los Angeles Police Department. I enjoyed, for as much reading as we had to do and as much preparation as we had to do for these meetings, it was kind of like being in grad school all over again, but much more intense and certainly much more serious. Los Angeles, as I mentioned earlier, is a city where I think it's probably the most global city in the United States. People are here from everywhere. And And I mentioned earlier that I think that the common thing that we all have is that we can be neighbors, we should be neighbors, and something as simple as a smile and a good morning goes a long way to making us a healthier and a friendlier city. It's certainly not as simple as that to resolve the many, many issues that are facing us in Los Angeles today, but I have no doubt that contained within the city of Los Angeles is the solution to so many of the societal concerns that are facing us as a city, as a people, and as a world. It was my honor. It's not quite over because we have today's meeting, but it has been my honor to sit here as a commissioner and to participate with all of you in making some of the most important decisions that I think I've ever made, certainly in my life. And to the people who come here every week and who involve themselves in the business of the Los Angeles Police Commission, thank you. Thank you for representing the citizenry. Thank you for exercising what it means to belong as a member of a democracy. And as a person who's visited many, many nations in the world, I will tell you that there is no place as good as the United States of America. And so for as much as we go through what we're going through here, there is no better place. These are tough times. We will weather them. We always have. And I just would like to say to you all, when I see you, good morning. Thank you.
Well, I shared some comments this morning, but I'll just repeat a couple of things that Paula has been a really important and influential voice on the commission because we listen to her. She's very thoughtful, critical, fair, and very principled, and she cares a lot. And she's been an enormous influence and inspiration for me personally. And my next comment on a separate topic is that I visited I attended the National Discussion on Public Trust training last week in Wilshire Division, and I was very impressed by how the department handled very challenging and complicated material on the public's relationship with the police and public perception of policing, and I was impressed by how earnest the approach to the training was, because I think it was very conducive to facilitating discussion around these difficult topics, and I learned a lot, and I can say for the entire training, but I regret actually having to leave because it was eye-opening and helpful.
Yes, I just want to make a comment or two about Commissioner Madison. I want to thank her for her service and for her friendship. She has been a true leader on this commission and someone from whom I have learned a great deal and happy to have learned from her guidance and her judgment. And I will miss her. And not to belabor this, I just have one thing to say, which is good morning.
Thank you. I'm sorry. One last thing I'd like to say is that, as you all certainly know, there will be a the mayor has, I think, already nominated a really dear friend of mine, Matt Johnson. And actually, it is Matt who put my name in front of the mayor for consideration to be police commissioner, because while this is the role that he really wanted, he couldn't do it at that time with his job. So it all worked out. I think that you all will welcome him. He's a brilliant and he's a committed and dedicated man who I think will make a great police commissioner. So I don't think you're going to miss me at all, but maybe we can go out and have some wine sometime.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. We do have one public comment. We have Mr. Herman.
Herman, go the other way, okay? To save us some time here. I mean, we can start the clock when he starts walking.
Yeah.
He's taking time doing his deal.
Is this where I kick you?
Yeah, so you can start the clock.
That's something nice about Ms. Madison. Is it unconstitutional? These important First Amendment rights are very important. Surrounding events that remain facts in dispute. To declare that Ms. Madison did an excellent job, non-biased, not racist, and not white. Although my skin is dark, the inside is red, like a Native American, who has one significant change to ask and should take place. In other words, in as so far as the First Amendment, Mr. Soboroff, that you take away our dignity, our rights. So don't close the door on what direction of equal access I have in this forum. I will take either side, left or right, liberal or racist like you, but not intentionally, because there are good people in this world, Mr. Soboroff. Those that love life, those who help and educate life, and those who teach life. But I can't teach you a damn thing, Mr. Soboroff, because every time I come in here, you have something negative to say about me. And that's why I respond so radical. Not that it's a threat, nor am I unsafe to say so, but it is by willingness to protect and even... Not to say that I am a serious harm or I offend the deepest values of our American right, First Amendment. For that, of this reason, the many problems are misunderstood in this way, Mr. Soboroff. They seem to involve collisions between society, dignity, and equality. Incommensurable values. Get it?
Item number 3, the report of the Chief of Police, Chief Beck.
Good morning, Chief.
Good morning, Commissioners. I want to add my voice in gratitude to Commissioner Madison. I don't think that very many people understand exactly the gravity of being a police commissioner and the responsibility and the workload. I've been around the commission for many decades now, worked directly for them, worked directly with them, and see what toll this takes on an individual. It is a tough job, and you know it is a job that has not only great responsibility but a great ability to change the police department, which can change this city. And I just can't thank Paula enough for her service here. It's been a tough time, one of the tougher times to be a police commissioner. And she's handled it with grace, and she's handled it with intellect, and we will miss her.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you. So one of the things that Commissioner Soboroff commented on was the Special Olympics, and I want to congratulate the men and women of the Los Angeles Police Department, especially Commander Dennis Cotto, for their work with the Special Olympics team. An amazing, amazing accomplishment. We had almost no significant incidents, and a lot of positive interaction. You know, one of the best things, or one of the most rewarding things I've done since I've been chief, happened last Monday, at the Galen Center. They had what they had called Unified Sports with the Special Olympics. So, a unified basketball tournament occurred there, and I was privileged to be on one of the teams. And the soul and the compassion and the dedication of these athletes was really beyond special. It was fantastic. I'll share. I'll try to do this as briefly as possible. We had six Olympians on our team, and they came from all over the world. And only one of them spoke English. So, besides the other challenges that they faced, they had a language differential. And so, one young man from South America, from Argentina, was on our team. probably about 20 years old, about my size, athletic, and so we're shooting around before the game, trying to get to know each other because these are teams put together spontaneously. And he has a great look of concern on his face, and he comes to me, and you know I'm by far the oldest person on the team, so I think he looks to me as a parental figure, and he comes to me, and he has this huge look of concern in his eyes. I'm trying to find out what's wrong with him, and then he points down at his shoe, and his shoe's untied, and so I helped him tie his shoe, and we got going again. And it just made you realize how difficult this is for so many athletes to come so far to a place where they don't speak the language and then they have to deal with their challenges that they're born with on top of that. And so really special and a great moment for me. And we got to participate in the medal ceremony, and that was a lot of fun. So a lot of opportunities. A lot of Los Angeles police officers had some very, very positive interactions. A great, great time for the city of Los Angeles, and hopefully something that that reminds people that this is an Olympic city.
Speaking of that, are we going to be ready for 2024, Mayor, if we so choose? I mean, Chief.
Well,
looks like your guys know how to do it.
I'm looking around out there for the next chief because I won't be here. Somebody in these rows here will be more than ready.
Okay,
and this is
good.
A great city. I was an officer during the '84 Olympics. It was a great time, and should we have it again, this city is more than up to the challenge. We had not this past weekend, but the weekend before, we had a well-publicized number of gang shootings. I want to commend particularly the South Bureau commands who are here for their work over this past weekend. They had almost no incidents of gang shootings and no gang homicides. It was I know they put a lot of effort into it, and it was particularly tough during this time because we're not only doing the we not only have a number of officers out of the field for the metro training, but we also had a number of officers dedicated to the Special Olympics, so they were shorthanded, but they used their folks wisely, and I want to commend them for that. Lastly, before I talk about crime, tonight is National Night Out. All of our community police stations will be hosting the community, and I encourage everybody to go to their police station and engage in the activities. You know, we're spending a lot of time on our on building community trust, but all trust starts with relationships, and one of the best ways to build a relationship is face to face, and that's what National Night Out is all about. On to the discussion of crime. We made significant progress in gang crime, although we're still up 13.5%. It wasn't more than a month ago that I was reporting that we were at 19%. So making good progress there. We managed to hold the line on Part 1 crime during the Special Olympics, so we're at 12.1% there. Homicides were down 4.5%, to give you an idea what that means. We've had 150 homicides in the city so far year to date. Last year at this time we had 157. Violent crime, we're hovering right at a 19% increase, and property crime right at 10% increase. Traffic collisions are still up in the city. We're up about 11%. That's 28,000 as compared to 25,000 last year. Driving under the influence accidents are up slightly. Hit and runs are up by about 13%. Motor vehicle versus pedestrians are up 3%. And, of course, motor vehicle versus pedestrians are one of the areas that we target with enforcement and engineering. The most highly because of the fatality involved. We've had 43 fatalities of motor vehicle versus pedestrians so far this year as compared to 47 last year. So we're down slightly there. Bicycle involved traffic collisions, particularly with the creation of all the Sharrow bike lanes. We're interested in this statistic, and we're down 2.1%, and severe accidents are down 7.2%. We're at 9,887 Los Angeles police officers, 2,678 civilian personnel, about 400 level one reserves, 372 specialist volunteers, 61 chaplains, and 6,493 young people in our cadet program. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Chief.
Okay, we do have two public comment cards. We have Mr. Herman and Prentice Jenkins.
Good morning, Charlie Beck. Have you heard this term that politicians can't be trusted? Is it an issue throughout our society that an organization of men and sometimes women are part of a mafia organization when they use bully pulpit to control a city? Same type of organization similar to that of the city of Los Angeles due to the Brown Act violations. How dare you put handcuffs and escort Tut Hayes out of a council meeting because he's not white? Only blacks and minority Hispanics of dark color or any color. If you're not white, you're all right. Get escorted out of City Hall. That's so disgraceful and embarrassing. When a city claims that the problems of crime are down, violence is down, but yet less than a week ago, we're on 101 homicides issue with the LA Times. Or was that a false report? Who are the vulnerable, Mr. Beck? Who are the vulnerable among us? Who flatly denies that this is part of a prejudice problem by censorship? You just brought it out very clear. A non-spoken human being pointed out that my shoe's untied, and you accepted to bow down and humbly help this person one time. Do it all the time. Protect our rights as citizens. And don't forget to serve and protect.
Prentice Jenkins.
Good morning, Commission. Good morning, Chief. Prentice Jenkins, I'm an activist since 1991 and publisher of City Life newsletter. It's going to speak about something else, but now I have to speak about this. First of all, let me say thank you for your service, Ms. Madison. You've been fair. I may not have liked the decision, but the decision you folks made and yourself made on Ezell Ford was split. And just like my mother said before the Rolling Stones said, you can't always get what you want. And I want to thank you for your service. And also, I've seen your profile, and I know why you're so tough. You represented not just one, not just black people, but you represented Asian people, with your mother being Asian. And this is very important, because when you talk about the city is diverse, that's your life. Diversity is your life. My life is just being black, but yours is between two worlds. It's between two different ethnicities. I don't say race because we're all the same race. So you've seen far more than I've seen, and you've experienced far more than I've experienced. And that's probably made you real tough. So I say again, thank you for your service, and hope we get someone, probably not as good as you, but they're going to have to do. I'd like to ask, I've given you the sugar, now I got to give you the salt. I was out there, and I was told when I had to sign in, and the officer told me I had to put my driver's license on my sign-in. I want to know if that's accurate, because no one. I only saw three other driver's licenses on there, and Mr. Herman didn't have to put his driver's license on there. Why was I being singled out?
Racist.
The next item we're taking off the agenda, so let's go to item number five.
Item number five, the report of the Inspector General, Mr. Bustamante.
Thank you, Commissioners. Just very briefly, I want to echo the comments of the Commissioners and also Chief Beck in saying how much of an honor and a privilege it's been to work with Commissioner Madison. I'm truly going to miss her, and my staff is going to miss her as well. And we wish you absolutely every luck and success in any future endeavors you have, and hope we stay in touch.
Absolutely. Is that your whole speech?
I want to give you more time, sir.
We do have one public comment card. We have Mr. Jenkins.
It says, those who do not remember the past are doomed to repeat it. George Santayana. Ezell Ford, shot South Los Angeles, killed by the LAPD. Brendan Glenn, shot in Venice, killed by the LAPD. Charlie Quinane, Africa, shot on Skid Row and killed by the LAPD. Walter De Leon, shot in the head, Los Feliz, wounded by the LAPD. These men who were shot to death have no voice, but they cry from the grave, just like slaves continue to cry from the grave for justice, just like Jewish people cry from the grave for justice. These men cry from the grave for justice. They can't speak, but I'm here to speak for them. I'll continue to be here to speak for them and find out why these men are dead. They were minding their own business in their communities. Charlie Africa, there's a quote. I'm for the truth, no matter who tells.
You want to stay on topic, Inspector General?
I am on topic, and you're
you haven't said the words Inspector General.
This is. I understand this is a significant incident.
Okay.
Please do
tie
not
it together
interrupt
for me.
You have to put 15 seconds on it because you interrupted me.
If you go on topic, I'll give you 15 seconds.
I am on
seconds.
Topic, sir.
Oh, I don't get it.
Quit interrupting me, please. I'm for the truth, no matter who tells it. I'm for justice, no matter who is for or against. Malcolm X. Charlie Africa, or Charlie Quinane, was on methamphetamines. So people would assume that's why he was shot. But if you were in those, if you go down Skid Row, a lot of those people are on methamphetamines. And they didn't get shot. He was minding his own business. We need to know, was there a call on him? Did the dispatcher call and say, this man is crazy, and the cops went to get him? Why did those cops approach Charlie Africa?
We do have Mr. Herman also.
So, Mr. Inspector General, wouldn't it be in great interest that you would up to everyone the attention of what the Brown Act is, 54950 to 54963. Should any human being be denied access and accommodated to a facility like this that is paid by the federal and state government, by all of you who work, whether it was intentional or not? I can agree with the gentleman. It has nothing to do with the color of his skin. It has to do with the color of authority here. We're here on a constant basis because we're respecting the rights of every person to be heard and for you to listen to, as Ms. Madison gracefully has done in her decisions on behalf of all public interest and concern, along with Mr. Inspector General Bustamante. Incidentally, though, Mr. Bustamante has a conflict. That conflict is whether or not he's representing the city charter on behalf of all of you and protecting our rights under any federal or state situation. I still demand that you investigate the harassment at City Hall towards me, an individual who's been harassed by Sergeant of Arms, threatened to be handcuffed, threatened to be handcuffed, threatened to throw my ass out of a public meeting because all I show is interest and concern for the public at large. So take some responsibility, Mr. Bustamante, and uphold the law. Not just with little integrity, but all integrity. Respect all. Lives matter. Black lives matter.
Okay.
Thank you. Item number 7, consent agenda items. These items are considered to be routine and non-controversial, upon which the board is provided with adequate information for approval without inquiry or discussion.
We have a motion for approval of the consent.
I move approval of all items in consent agenda, item 7.
Second.
With thanks to the donors. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay.
We're now on regular agenda. Item 8A and 8B are verbal presentations. Would a commissioner wish to pull an item as special, 8C through 8L?
I'm happy to move approval of all those items with one comment, unless commissioners would like to discuss any of the audits. My comment is to commend the property division. This is item 8L. It was 100% in an area where there have been significant problems in the past, and commend the department for that. With that, I move approval of items 8C through 8L.
Yeah. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Great.
Okay, we will begin with 8A, department's verbal presentation and discussion relative to the status of the review of the Los Angeles Police Department area station security cameras.
Thanks for coming, everybody. Morning.
Morning, Commissioners. Tom Brennan from Facilities Management Division.
Tom.
I'm here to give you an update on the security camera systems that we have within our facilities. Since our last meeting, one of the big issues that we had was providing training to our officers and supervisors in the station. We've trained over 100 people so far. We have another 60 people who will be trained before the end of the fall to operate the system, have a better understanding of it, and be able to provide us with better feedback on how to manage the system, make sure that cameras are working, make sure that repairs are made on a timely basis. I've also personally visited every one of the stations in West Bureau and Valley Bureau to inspect the cameras and the locations, and we've come up with a list of additional cameras that we'll be installing. We'll be submitting that through the budget process. There were a couple of incidents where we found a situation that was so egregious that we actually identified money and are in the process of correcting that or providing additional security cameras there. The two stations that don't have a full security system are Newton and North Hollywood. Northeast also does not, but they're having a new station before the end of the year, and they'll have a brand new state-of-the-art system with their station. Funding was not made available in the budget this current fiscal year for the installation of those two systems, so we will be resubmitting for the next fiscal year. But we did identify funding and have already installed a very basic security camera system at Newton and North Hollywood.
Good.
It's just a minimal number of cameras that provide surveillance of the outside of the station and provide that information back into the front desk of the watch commanders. So there's some additional adjustments that we'll be making to that during this fiscal year, but until we get the full funding, they won't have a full system.
Questions, anyone? Chief? Anything?
Questions? No.
No. Great work. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Great work. Thank you.
Thank you.
Important.
Okay, we're now on item 8B, department's verbal presentation and discussion relative to the current status and response to recent gang violence in Operation South Bureau.
Come on up, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So what we have, Commissioners, good morning, is Chief Scott, not Commissioner Scott, Chief Scott and the area commanding officers who have addressed violent crime for this last year. As you know, we've consistently improved from where we were in mid-March in terms of violent crime. For South Bureau, in mid-March, we were up at close to 38%. We've reduced that significantly down to about 13% in terms of violent crime. These last 10 days, however, have been significant to us in terms of individual incidents that have occurred in South Bureau, and we've been over our goal each day. There was a 3 or 4 day period last week where there was some significant incidents of violence in South Bureau, and we've been able to turn that around. Some of the things that we did, in addition to the analysis that each of the captains did, is we moved Metropolitan Division. We took some resources from throughout the city, and we've also moved some of our motor officers into South Bureau to specifically look at the spots where gang crime was occurring to address that. In addition to that, those redeployment of resources, South Bureau redeployed their resources, and that they adopted a no borders philosophy that Chief Scott can talk a little bit about. We're also mobilized the Hoover Task Force that they have, and we're working with the Human Trafficking Task Force as well as the FBI Task Force to move all that intelligence and information over to them so that they can specifically address violent crime where it is occurring. So those are some of the things that we were doing on a macro and a general basis, but I think that Bill Scott and the commanding officers can talk specifically about those issues within their respective commands.
Well, as you give us your presentation, I think that this hashtag 100 days situation, how you handled that, any updates on that, and how you use social media to respond to other social media, and vice versa, how the other side may be using your social media for theirs, because I think you've done just a remarkable, remarkable job. Go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, commissioners. First of all, I'd like to start and introduce, most of you know that South Bureau commanding officers, but I'd like to just introduce them very quickly, starting with, on my left, Captain Al Postles, the area commanding officer, Southeast. Captain Mark Reyna, patrol commanding officer for 77th, and Captain Corey Polk is in the audience. He's just returning from 3 weeks of training, so he was away during this all what happened in the past couple of weeks. I also have Captain Dave Kowalski from South Traffic. Also in the audience is Captain Lee Sands from Southeast, the patrol commanding officer, Captain Kathy Meek from Harbor, the area commanding officer there, Captain Sean Parker, the patrol commanding officer Southwest. Gerald Woodyard is off today to take his daughter back to college, but he would be here as well. And we have Captain Peter Whittingham in the audience, Criminal Gang Homicide Division, and Lieutenant Mike Opelt, who's been filling in for Peter. The reason I want to start with that is because, first and foremost, the concept of teamwork comes to play with everything that we've done throughout the year, but particularly this past week. And that team not only includes these captains that I just introduced, but it also includes Metropolitan Division. As Chief Yeager said, they played a huge role in driving this spike of violence down. Also Air Support, Racer, LA County Sheriffs, and I'm going to expand on that when I turn this over to Mark as far as the No Borders. The Mayor's Office, Grid Reduction and Youth Development, who played a huge role in this. Intervention, our local clergy, and many members of the community who called, text, came to visit daily to ask what they can do to help. And that was huge, because the 100 days and 100 nights when that posting went up, part of our objective was to get accurate information out, accurate that we didn't think this was valid to begin with based on our intelligence, and accurate in terms of actually what was occurring with the shootings. And with that, just to provide some context, when you look at South Bureau shootings, to date we've had 642 shootings overall. Almost half of those, about 42%, 271, are gang-related. In terms of victims hit, we've had 359 victims hit, and over half of those were gang-related, 55%. So our intelligence and our statistics tell us that our focus really needs to be on reducing the gang violence. And that's where we started in terms of trying to drive this down. Our focus was very specific. We gave missions to police constitutionally, but we need to focus on where the issues are, and the issues are gang violence, the number of guns on the streets in the hands of gang members. So that was our focus. We also employed some strategies, and I'm going to turn this over to Captain Arena because 77th really was a focal point. But before I turn this over, it's important to note, when you look at our yearly statistics, we had a bad week. We had a bad week. Overall, the Bureau, that week of July 18th through July 25th, we had 33 shootings. That was a high for the year for a week, which on average, that's about three shootings today, actually almost four shootings today per day. The following week, after we came together as a team and really pulled out all the stops in terms of the teamwork and doing what we needed to do, we reduced that to almost one shooting per day, which still is unfortunate, but it's a significant reduction. And how we did that, I'm going to turn this over to Captain Reina to kind of explain how we did that.
Thank you.
Good morning. The week of July 19th through the 25th, 77th Division experienced two gang-related homicides and nine ADW gang-related shootings, resulting in 15 people being struck by gunfire. Five of the 15 people struck occurred within a five-hour period on Saturday, July 25th, which resulted in our tactical alert for South Bureau. As the shootings continued through that week, culminating on the weekend, and not knowing if the threat of the 100 days of violence was valid, which was being investigated at the time by a gang and narcotics division and major crimes division, we implemented a plan to utilize motor officers from around the city for high visibility and deterrence throughout the weekend. In addition, our gang units from Southwest and Harbor divisions assisted 77th Gang Enforcement Detail with conducting parole and probation compliance searches. 16 searches were conducted that weekend alone. On Sunday, a strategic plan was implemented utilizing 77th Gangs, 77th PCU, and Metropolitan Division to conduct parole and probation searches as well as conduct specific field enforcement in designated areas based on violence and intelligence gathered by 77th Division gang detectives. We also partner with the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department and have been exchanging information with them so we can understand what is happening on the county side so that we can deploy effectively in the city. In addition, the Los Angeles County Probation Department committed their disarm team to assist 77th Division. To date, they've conducted two full days of parole and probation compliance searches with operations planned at least three times a week indefinitely. As we speak, they're currently conducting eight additional compliance searches. From July 25th to August 3rd, this collaborative effort between 77th officers, Metropolitan officers, and the county probation has resulted in 48 compliance searches, 39 arrests, and the recovery of 22 handguns and rifles. The majority of the arrests were gang-related. Our department's fugitive apprehension team has now joined and are assisting in this team effort. We truly believe that because of this strategic plan and the team effort put forth by 77th Division has seen a dramatic reduction in gang-related shootings when compared to the prior week, with only two shootings resulting in one person being struck. When comparing the last 2 weeks, this is a 70% reduction in ADW shootings, a 93% reduction in the number of people struck by gunfire, and a 100% reduction in homicides. There's much more that we did with our strategic plan. On Monday, July 27th, after the weekend of the hype of the 100 days and nights of violence, we convened an emergency meeting of all our gang interventionists at 77th Station. During that meeting, we dispelled the rumors related to 100 days and nights of violence, while at the same time encouraged our interventionists to assist us with speaking with gang members who were feuding to attempt to have them stop the violent confrontations. I also met with our clergy council and again spoke about the misleading social media posts related to the 100 days and nights of violence and requested that they reach out to their communities and congregations in an effort to help reduce the violence and inform our community members regarding the 100 days and nights of violence hoax. Furthermore, our 11 senior lead officers were tasked with identifying 10 locations, such as the government building on 83rd in Vermont, which houses the Department of Children and Family Services, and other key community members and groups, and to speak to them about the lack of validity to this online hoax, as well as to reassure them that they were safe. In addition, the 77th SLOs, along with supervisors in 77th Division, utilized social media to assure our members of our community that they were safe and that the 100 days and nights of violence appeared to be an online hoax. Finally, patrol supervision conducted roll call on the street 9 times last week alone in the areas most affected by the violence the previous week. This proved to be extremely positive, with many residents approaching officers and asking about the truth to the rumor and whether or not the communities were safe. Again, we feel this collaborative effort and team approach significantly reduced the gang-related violence and was a true testament to how our law enforcement partners and community groups can work together to address critical issues such as this surge in violent crime.
A couple of other points. One of the things that we have worked hard to do is, so often when you have a crime scene or particularly a homicide scene, how you handle that scene makes a tremendous difference as to what happens afterwards. Our detectives at Criminal Gang Homicide Division are really good in terms of ambassadorship, because a lot of things happen. Emotions are high, particularly if it's a gang-related homicide. A lot of times the friends of the person that was killed, they want to go out and get revenge. So a lot of preventing the next shooting can be mitigated at that crime scene. So we've kind of adopted an ambassadorship philosophy with our crime scene management to make sure that those needs are met at the crime scene. And it's more than just, you know, the investigation and protecting the scene with yellow tape. You have to get out and talk to people and understand where they're coming from and make sure that oftentimes it can turn volatile if we don't manage it, right, if we don't treat people with respect. So we work hard to do that. The other piece to that is oftentimes these funerals result in vigils, repasses that also lead to violence. So I want to let Al Postles talk a minute on how we've managed that piece, because he does a phenomenal job at that, and it's a huge piece of us preventing future violence.
Good morning.
Thank you, Al.
Essentially what's happened is when CGHD becomes part of these investigations, my liaison with them is I want to be intimately involved with this process, even meeting with the families of the deceased as a result of the gang violence. They keep me apprised of where we're going in the situation and main points of contact. This past weekend, there was no media coverage and there was no sensationalization about it. We managed a gang funeral with over 1,000 participants on Broadway just south of 87th, consumed by probably, I've been told, anywhere from 8 to 10 rival gangs to come and offer their respects. And what I was told was the pastor, who was the brother of the gentleman killed, Mr. Rawls, was going to kind of play him as a martyr and ask for a weekend of peace. I trusted him and supported him on that, and it looks like it panned out. I only ended up with 3 shots fired calls and 1 victim shot last week, and not related to this potential 100 days and 100 nights. What I do is I meet with the family, we develop an ambassadorship. This particular incident, because of what I knew was coming to the area, they identified 21 persons to be marked indiscriminately within the church, stuff that we would recognize, to handle all their interior problems. Then we had another section of the community from the Watts Gang, Watts Car Club. They also facilitated in parking along Broadway and managing that piece, led by some folks from the Watts Gang Task Force that are community, that are engaged in the community, as well as numerous contacts that I had. We also established a liaison with GRID and intervention being there. This piece led to us being able to basically control the outskirts of this so they could say their goodbyes in peace without having any potential gang violence issues. We did have one minor spark up that we were able to manage within less than 4 minutes. But that's the stuff that doesn't make the news. I was told by various folks that were part of the service that their estimation is 1,000. I had us around 700, but what was more noteworthy is we had potentially 6 to 8 rival gangs in one place offering their respects because of this gentleman's history. So we've utilized this model on numerous occasions because we transfer this same model over to the repass. And we've had a lot of discussions on, and like I discussed with my officers, is we would have been there. If we hadn't prepared for it, we would have been there. We would have walked in and some young cops would have been sucked up by this incident and not known what to do with it. So I've planned for these things accordingly, and with that, the repass, I use the same model. We identify community ambassadors because I want my sergeant to go in there and have that dialogue with these ambassadors as to what's going on or what the community's complaining about, rather than my officer showing up, now we're all wearing helmets, everybody's emotions are inflamed, we understand it's a respectful scenario. We've been able to handle a number of these funerals where the churches have been overfilled and folks have poured out into the street, and we've done things that in the norm we wouldn't have done. We would have probably shown up and had to make things happen, but we've stopped traffic, we've created parking, we've created access, we've created perimeter security for them to offer their respects in peace. It's paid dividends that I can't even account for. To the point of what you were talking about with 100 days and 100 nights, I reached out to some of the contacts that I had from that day. They were able to kind of give me the history of when this started from their perspective, and it started with the death of a gentleman named KP that got killed on the sheriff's side, which we had the sheriffs involved in our incidents. We were able to look back and find that social media that kind of started, and it came from a loved one who essentially went through the stages of grief and anger. Initially, it started out as, I love you, I miss you, I'm going to grieve you for 100 days. Then, like anything, it turned to violence because of how he was killed. So with that information, working with the sheriffs, working with Mark, working with my entities, doing the outreach, and then having somebody who was that intimate with the post going out, we were able to quell this. The other piece of that is we had folks saying things, and it was all just part of it. But we did not have arrests that we were being made, or we did not have the constant volley of gunfire. The sheriffs had two shootings a week apart, Sunday to Sunday. I had two that I could maybe link to that. And so with that, we didn't have that supportive information.
And then the last piece of this, I wanted Captain Kowalski, because we have to keep going. We have other, you know, police missions in spite of all the, you know, spikes of violence. But part of that mission is keeping motorists safe in the city. And Captain Kowalski does an excellent job of coordinating that piece, but putting his traffic resources where we need the most to stem the violence. So, David, you can mention how we...
Good morning.
Thank you, Dave.
Like the chief said, we've taken an approach with both not only enforcement but education and outreach to the community, especially during this time. As soon as these shootings occurred, we moved our motor resources specifically to 77th and Southeast No Borders to cover the area and support Captain Reyna and his resources there to quell any further shootings, and they've been there since. Secondly, this past Saturday, August 1st, we were able to utilize our federal grant money towards DUI enforcement, and we deployed an additional 6 motor officers in 77 during one of the busiest nights of the week. Then we also put our deployment of our speed flashing trailers that you often see on the streets. We're able to utilize our 3 trailers on some of our busiest streets in South Los Angeles, specifically Western and Figueroa, and that was from Friday to this past Monday morning. And from a community perspective, we've done significant outreach with community groups to deter violence. One of those is the United Peace Ride that runs every 4th Sunday in South Los Angeles, and that's through Pastor Powell's group. And our motors are deployed to that on the Sunday afternoon, and then once that ride is completed and everyone's safe, we turn them over to enforcement efforts in South Los Angeles. And that's been very effective, like a two-prong approach. And from an education perspective, our community motor officers conducted 4 pedestrian safety task forces last week in 77th in those busy areas to reduce our serious traffic collisions, to reduce our pedestrians being struck. And lastly, on Saturday night, we deployed 3 officers with our community safety trailer, and we provided educational flyers in one of our busiest intersections in 77, Slauson and Western, which not only is busy for traffic collisions, but cruiser activity on Saturday. So we were able to deter that, and what was special about that is we gave out 20 bicycle lights and helmets to children and their family, and we also posted that on social media, and that's something that we want to continue to develop and move forward in reducing those bicycle collisions in Los Angeles, especially as it relates to children.
So overall, you know, we definitely have an aggressive posture in terms of removing guns from the street, focusing on individuals involved in gang activity. But the reason I wanted Dave and the other captains to speak is there's a balance. the last thing we want to do, and we get this, it comes from the top and through Chief Yeager's, the last thing we want to do is go in the community and have everybody thinking that we're locking everybody up. We are very specific and focused on people that are causing violence in the community. However, the education piece, the ambassadorship, and all those things to balance out so people have some assurance that we're out there doing what we're supposed to do to keep the community safe. And ultimately, that hopefully will reduce the fear when we do get something like this 100 days posting. We want to maintain a semblance of safety in the community where people are not afraid. And that is pretty much the essence of how we did it this week.
Questions? Thoughts? Commissioner Madison?
Thank you very much. I mean, that was a... There were parts of it where I was gasping. 1,000 people at a funeral. I can imagine what the repast was. But it sounds like what you were able to do is sort of shift resources that would have been deployed anyway, sort of somewhere, but to get the visibility, you moved it into the area where this was, where a lot of the shooting activity was, so that people saw that there was a greater police presence. And is that what was happening? Because part of what I wonder is, I don't imagine that there's all kinds of other discretionary funds when something like this comes up. So in an effort to not rob Peter to pay Paul, it sounds as though you have to be very strategic when you're moving these things around. And so if something happens over here, you got to kind of pull from whatever. So can you just talk about how effective that is managerially, and if that is really a difficult thing to accomplish?
It is a
more from a
thing.
Budgetary standpoint. I'm kind of asking.
Can I take that? It is a very difficult thing. It's a balancing act. I mean, I still have incidents in Valley Bureau. I have incidents in West Bureau. I have incidents in Central Bureau, and we need to deploy personnel resources there. This particular month, we were significantly challenged because of Special Olympics. You know, all the deployment, all the resources for that. We also embarked on the preservation of life training, and that was extremely important, something that we had to do. We made that a priority in this organization, and that depleted resources as well because they're now attending training, the entire training cycle. So it's a balancing act. We will continue to look at the resources that we have, look at the best places to put them, and then continue to adjust as the trends shift. One of the things that is going to be important to us is when Metropolitan gets fully functional, I believe that'll be in October, November, after they're done with all their training, each bureau is going to have their own resources specifically allocated to the bureau chiefs and the commanders so that they can decide where they're going to go within their bureau. And the purpose of us constituting Metropolitan Division was so that we have a more flexible resource that we wouldn't otherwise have, so that we don't have to borrow from Paul to pay Peter. So that's part of the juggling act that we have, and it's something that we're going to continue to refine as we meet on Mondays to discuss crime and discuss what resources we have and where they can work, whether it's the Detective Bureau resources from gang and narcotics or any of the other resources that we have. So it's more of it's part art, part science, and it's a lot of dedication. I think what you heard in the commanding officers is you heard them speak, but what you really heard them say is that in South Bureau in particular, in the department as a whole, but in South Bureau in particular, you have some strong leaders that are compassionate. They're compassionate, they're focused on community partnerships, and they're focused on building relationships, and they care deeply. They really, really do. They didn't talk too much about this, but on that Saturday night, when I went in to 77 to kind of check on things, I was calling Bill Scott and asking him to meet me there, and I didn't have to ask him to meet me there because he was already there, and so was Mark Reyna. And so were some of the other captains were in pocket, providing strong, visible, proactive leadership to ensure that we're trying to reduce the incidence and fear of crime.
Thank you. Thank you all.
My takeaway from this is that the levels of community policing that you're using in these difficult situations goes deeper and is more sophisticated. Although it's simple, it's sophisticated. Just the idea of in the middle of these kinds of high-pressure situations that you're how you deal with one homicide in relation to what's going to happen afterwards, or how you deal with giving kids bike helmets and lights at the same time. And so at the end of the day, what it is it's this synergy that turns based on different areas of community policing. And it's really interesting and a pleasure and sort of an honor to hear what you're talking about. America can stand up and listen what you guys are doing.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We're now on item number 9, public comment.
Did you have a comment?
Oh, yeah, I just had a question.
Yeah.
I'm really impressed with your work. And in order to isolate the gang activity, I have to use a lot of intelligence. And so I was wondering what kinds of resources. I mean, there's investigative intelligence, but there must be other resources that you utilize.
Yes, that's a great question. There is. We have many sources of information as far as intelligence. You know, start with the basics, with the statistics. I mean, we have a very good crime analysis in this department. So, you know, the dots on the map, that's where we start. But beyond that, our relationships with the community, we're getting information from all sources. I mean, this morning get a number of texts or receive a number of texts about what's going on, as do all the captains. Mm-hmm. We have task forces. We have federal partners. And we are very, you can call it data mining, but we're always trying to figure out, you know, what the next step should be. So the only way that happens is through good intelligence. And that is really what drives our deployment. Mm-hmm. We deploy where we think we need to be. If we hear that there's a few going on, there's a likely shooting, that's where we're going to put our resources. And particularly if there is a shooting, you know, we have to react accordingly. Chief Villegas mentioned a no borders, and really that term was coined. Crime doesn't pay attention to borders, city or otherwise. Sure. So when we have to come together, these captains are excellent about if 77th is hurting because they have a spike, southeast or southwest will send resources to help out. We're expanding that in terms of our relationships with the county sheriffs on our borders, because the intel, a lot of it says that things that happen in the county, as Captain Postles pointed out, comes back to the city. So that intel is huge, and it's really our deployment has to be intelligence driven, or else we're spinning a wheel. So,
right.
And the grid office, the Office of Gang Reduction and Youth Development, you know, those interventionists, I can't understate how big of a role they play, particularly in rumor control, because in that gang culture, a lot of times rumors can get people killed. So we try our best to work with, you know, grid in terms of getting accurate information to them getting it's really us getting accurate information to them so they can put out accurate information and reduce the rumors. If, you know, if we get a strong indication that, you know, a case is involving two gangs and the rumor on the street is that it involves some other gang, we want that to be known so we don't have a retaliatory shooting that's based on rumor.
Yeah.
So it is very helpful.
Chief, Chief, do you want to close it out with you've got to be awfully proud of this, but I'm interested in your thoughts.
Well, you know, I mentioned them in my opening comments, and I am proud of what they do, and I'm also proud of the attitude that they have. You know, part of my goal when I became chief was to try to transmit the way that Pat Gannon and maybe me to some extent were able to deal with issues in South Bureau and make sure that continued and that it wasn't just a personality-based, you know, intervention and the four-pronged approach and you know, recognizing that how you deal with homicide scenes and how you deal with funerals, you know, have maybe more effect on what you're going to be dealing with late at midnight on Friday and Saturday night than anything else you do. I wanted to make sure that wasn't just something that was one person's knowledge. And now, you know, when I hear my command staff talk about it, I recognize that this is the way the organization thinks now. And it's really important.
Great. Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Thanks.
Thank you. Be safe, guys. Thanks for what you're doing.
Okay. We're now on item number 9, public comment. We have two comment cards, Prentice Jenkins and Hugh Schertz.
Isn't that interesting?
Mr. Jenkins is no longer here. It's Mr. Hugh.
The other speaker isn't here either?
Okay, and neither speaker is here.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, he's here? Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Mr. Hugh is coming.
You know, I hate to be here again. This is the third time I've been here.
Will you say your name for us, maybe?
Hugh Schertz.
Okay, thank you, sir.
And I'm representing myself and my 90-year-old disabled father who's in a wheelchair. You know, I contacted after ongoing issue. Topanga states they submitted an incident report under vandalism in the neighbor dispute when my dad gets shot at by the neighbor, and they buried that in the report. It's in the dialogue with no mention of injuries nor his name. They stated the DA rejected it. I called the DA with names and Rahui at the 818 number, stated it had not been filed. After I contacted my councilman and neighborhood council member with this information, Topanga called me and told me that I was lying and gave me finally the number, which was 1521-11837. I again called Rahui at the DA's office, as I did yesterday, just to double check that I'm not wrong. And again, it has never been filed. Last night, my dad was awoken at 2:30 in the morning by another gunshot towards the house. Again, at least he wasn't in that room. They say, Topanga says they've never had a report of gunshots. We've had reports constantly. My neighbors across the street have called. Neighbors up from it have called. It's ridiculous. It's tiring. I mean, you know, when are they going to do it? This almost 2 years ago, in front of two Topanga policemen, this person tried to cave my head in when I was doing a lower lock on my lower fence, and they stood there. At least they told me to duck. I give them credit there. They didn't arrest him. He's done two vandalism things. They lost the felony portion. They say it's a neighbor dispute. It's not a neighbor dispute. It's ongoing criminal behavior, and they won't stop it.
Thank
and
you.
If they're not going to stop, I'm screwed.
You get his info and make sure that Topanga.
Good.
Okay, we have no other comment cards. We're now on. Oh, Mr. Jenkins here. I apologize.
Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, I'd like to get an answer as to why I was singled out there, and they made me put my driver's license when I was signing in. Didn't have to do that to Mr. Herman. And I don't know what that is. I'd like an answer to that, Chief. Also, I'd like to discuss fireworks going off after the 4th of July in March. And just like they're going off in my neighborhood after March, going off in my colleague Bill Watkins' neighborhood, After March and on 4th of July, those things are illegal. I'd like to know why the agenda is not put on online a day before the Board of Police Commission hearings. That's when it should be put online. I'd like that addressed. Also, I'd like to address these gentlemen's issue. I'm glad they arrested that many people in South Bureau, but guess what? If we took the time to actually, if we could arrest them, you can arrest them or you can assist them. In 1959, two young black boys wanted to join the Boy Scouts, but they didn't have any Boy Scouts chapters for black kids. And they told us little black boys they could not join the Boy Scouts because they were black. 10 years later, those two boys grew up. Stanley Tukey and Raymond Washington grew up to be the head of the founders of the Crip gang. So either you can assist these kids, you can abreast a bunch of them, or you can create programs where the young ones who will become gang members can come in to these programs and get away from the violence. The cops have to do that. If the cops don't do that, there's no saying it takes a village to raise them. It also takes a police task force to arrest them. So either you're going to raise them or you're going to arrest them. Which one is it?
Thank you.
There are no other comment cards. We're now on item number 10, closed session. The Board of Police Commissioners will now recess into closed session to discuss item number 10A, B, and C in accordance with Government Code 54957. I'm sorry, 10A, 1, 2, and 3 in accordance with Government Code 54957.